Okay. Good evening, everyone. There's some makoros in the back two tables. If anyone just walked in and didn't get, raise your hand if you have the makoros. Welcome to the third week of the Young Gezel of Woodmere BMP Summer Learning Experience. The third installation of our shir, that is, on Monday nights. We're discussing inyanim from the Parsha. Different halachos. Just two quick announcements. First of all, this Thursday night, we're going to have the schus of having Rabbi Ari Leibowitz Shlita here to give a shir, so everyone should make sure that they should attend. If they can only attend one shir this week, they should leave now and come for that. Secondly, there will be Tisha B'Av programming in this room, Rabbi Shachter, in this room, taking place throughout the day, also at night. Shiurim, davening, I guess signs will be posted, announcements will be made, but everyone should keep that on their radar as well. Bershus, my father, Bershus, Rabbi Shachter. Bershus, my grandfather. Anyone else? Anyone who pays membership? This week's Parsha presented a particularly difficult problem for me. We've been trying to talk about inyanim and halacha that come out of the Parsha, sometimes a little more creative than others. This Parsha, so there's not so many mitzvos that are listed by the Monia mitzvos in the Sefer HaChinuch, in the Sefer HaMitzvos that come from this week's Parsha, and so I had a little bit of difficulty finding something to talk about until I was about to drop out, and I was going to say, let's talk about Tisha B'Av maybe, some inyanim about Havdalah maybe, Tisha B'Av Nidche, a different thing we could talk about there. But Rabbi Rice, who gives a shir here in the morning, so he wouldn't have it. He said I had to be consistent, and I had to talk about the Parsha, if that's why I started. So Rabbi Rice suggested the following. He pointed to the Pasuk here in Parsha's Devarim. It's source number one on the sheet. It's Pasuk Ches over here in the first parak. The Pasuk reads, Re'ei nasati lifneichem es ha'aretz. Hashem says, look, behold, before you, I'm giving you the land. Bo urishu es ha'aretz, come inherit it. Asher nishba Hashem la'av oseichem la'avram lisrig u'yakov la'seis lahem. I promised to give them the land. Ulazaram acharehem. So the Torah Tamima, in his commentary on this Pasuk, points to a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is found here in source number 2. On Daf Tzadi Amud Beis. The Gemara is the beginning of Perek Chelek in Sanhedrin. Those Gemaras are all discussing in Yonim about Tchiyas HaMesim, in Yonim about resurrection, people coming back to life towards the end of days. And in those Gemaras, especially on this Daf, on Tzadi Amud Beis, so the Gemara discusses Minayin L'Tchiyas HaMesim in HaTorah. From where do we know, from how do we see in the Torah, how do we see in the Ksuvim, how do we see in the Navi, that there's such a thing as Tchiyas HaMesim, there's such a thing as resurrection? Where do we know it from? What's the source? So the Gemara and different Amorim, different Tanaim offer many, many suggestions, different drushas, different ma'amaros. The particular one that we're concerned with is the one that Torah Tamiya points us to, that's here bolded in source number 2. Seemingly a coming off of our pasuk. If anyone has a question, they'll ask me later. It's not so clear that it's our pasuk. Asher nishba Hashem la'aseichem la'seis lahem, the pasuk says, I'm going to give you, well, I shouldn't say that, I'm going to give them, lahem, the land. Lachem lo ne'mar. It doesn't say I'm going to give the land to you. Ela lahem, I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to give it to people that aren't here in front of us. Mikan l'tchiyas ha'mesim ha'torah. So this pasuk is clearly not only talking about Eretz Yisrael, not only talking about these people inheriting the physical, real land of Eretz Yisrael, but rather it's also hinting to the fact that there's a future Aretz, there's a future land, metaphorically speaking, which is Tchiyas HaMesim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring back to life people who have died. What exactly Tchiyas HaMesim is a subject of much dispute. It's not very clear at all what it is. It's not very clear at all when it happens. It is very clear that it's important to believe in. The Rambam in his Hakdama to Perek Chelek, in this very Perek in Masechta Sanhedrin, the Rambam's Hakdama to Perek Chelek, his Hakdama to the Mishnayos in Chelek, is the source for the Yud Gimel Ikrim. The 13 Yesodos, the 13 fundamentals upon which our Emunah, our belief system, are built. Within those 13 principles, he has all of the famous things that we're supposed to believe in, Mashiach, Hashem's power, and all these different things, Moshe's Nevuah, Torah Min HaShemayim. The final Yesod, the final Ikr, the final belief that the Rambam says is totally crucial to our belief system is that you're ma'amin in Tchiyas HaMesim, that you believe that there will be resurrection, Hashem will bring people back to life. And in fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav, the Rambam says explicitly that he counts different people who are considered kofrim, who are considered minim, who are considered apikorsim, people who don't have the status of a Jewish person, who are not believers in Hashem. And among that list of people, he says people who are kofrim b'tchiyas ha'mesim, people who don't believe in tchiyas ha'mesim, they don't belong to the Jewish people, they're not part of our nation, they're apikorsim, they're kofrim. That's what the Rambam says. What is this ikr? What are we meant to believe? What's it supposed to teach us? So it's quite clear it's not supposed to teach us that Hashem is powerful. We know Hashem is powerful from the fact that we know He created the world. We know He's powerful from the fact that He gave us the Torah. We know all those things are true. Hashem is omnipotent anyways. What this Ikra comes to say, Moriv Rabbi, Rav Shechter Shlita has said this, this Ikkar is supposed to say, it's supposed to teach us that our lives are not so short. We tend to think, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We tend to think that just, you know, chop a couple of hanas here, eat some ma'achalos, asuros there. Just do what you want to do, party while you're here, because it's a short life. Imbigvuros shmonim, it's only a quick time on this earth, so get it all in and, you know, have a good time. Says the Rambam, and says the Torah, seemingly, no, there's going to be a Tchias HaMesim. You're going to be alive in 5,000 years. You're going to be alive in 10,000 years. Whenever Tchias HaMesim comes, you're going to be brought back to life. Our lives are so long-lasting. We're so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to spirituality, that He's going to bring us back. And so if we have that Musar, if we have that Ikkar, if that's one of our fundamental beliefs, so then that should help us live a life of Torah, live a life of mitzvos, and keep the Torah mitzvos. And that's why this is one of the Ikkarim, that's why this is one of the Yesodos, the foundations of our belief system. Now, what exactly Tchias HaMesim is, again, it's very confusing. I'm certainly not the person to talk about it whatsoever, but it bears mention at least to discuss the very, very basic overview, the very simple concepts behind what or when Tchias HaMesim is. There's a major, major machlokas Rambam, Ramban. The Ramban is found in Shar HaGemul. The Ramban says that we know of three concepts, Tchias HaMesim, or Yemos HaMashiach, and Olam Haba. Says the Ramban, Tchias HaMesim takes place into Olam Haba. We are revived and resurrected into this perfect utopian sort of existence where there is no real challenge, there is no Yetzer Hara. We're brought back to life into this Olam Haba, this wonderful existence. Says the Rambam, that's not really true. When a person dies and he's Zocha, this Rambam is found in Perek Ches in Hilchos Tshuva, when a person dies and he is Zocha, he has had a good life, so he goes to Olam Haba. And he spends his time in this Olam HaNeshamos, this upper worldly, not physical, no body, no eating, no drinking, nothing like that, nothing physical. He spends his time in this upper world, and after he spends a certain amount of time there, so there's going to come a point where Hashem says, okay, it's time for Tchias HaMesim, it should be soon. And Hashem says, I'm going to bring everyone back to life, and guess what? I'm bringing the people who are in Olam Haba back to this world, to the Yemos HaMashiach. What are the Yemos HaMashiach? Says the Rambam, quoting a Gemara in Brachos, Ein bein Olam Hazeh, li Yemos HaMashiach, el Shibud Malchios Bilvad, which means that the existence in Yemos HaMashiach is not that much different at all, it's just that we have less pressure, less lachatz from the umos ha'olam. The gayim don't pressure us, and so we may have an easier time keeping Torah mitzvos, but the world itself still remains the same. And in fact, says the Rambam, you still do mitzvos, you still live, you're still born, and you still die. The world goes on to function as usual, except that we're mechaye mesim, means we take those Jews who are already in Olam Haba, their neshamos were already celebrating betaynug with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the upper world, and we bring them back into this world. Now, this is, again, far out of our grasp. It does minimize Tchias HaMesim, because if I was enjoying the Shechina and sitting back not having to eat ever and just learning Torah with Hashem, Chavrusa, so I really wouldn't want to be plucked out of there and put back into this world. That doesn't really make much sense, which is why some Achronim actually claimed that the Rambam denied Tchias HaMesim. That's preposterous because the Rambam says it's one of the Yogim L'Ikrim. So we're not going to suggest that. But the Rambam seemingly thinks that that's what Tchias HaMesim is. You're brought from Olam Haba back into this world. Either way, the Rambam wrote a letter called the Igaris Tchias HaMesim, and in the beginning of that letter, he addresses his critics and he says, I'm not going to spend too much time talking about Tchias HaMesim anyways because we don't really understand it. There's not much to talk about. So we'll take that rule and we won't really talk about Tchias HaMesim too much. That's just a basic overview, a basic gist of what is going on between the Ramban and the Rambam. What we want to focus on tonight, different than all other nights that we've done this year, usually we speak about a couple different Maamar Komos, different Gemaras, different Rishonim and Poskim. I just want to focus on one Gemara tonight. Just want to read this Gemara, source number 4, we don't have resources inside. I want to read this Gemara and I want to break down the assumptions, break down the different shitas, and try to figure out halacha lemaisa and also maybe a little hashkafa, what exactly this Gemara is teaching us. The Gemara, as you see in source number 4, is a Gemara Nida. It's on Samach Aleph and Beis. The Gemara says, it's underlined and arrowed, so if anyone can't find it, that is sad. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Beget she'avad bo kalayim. Let's say you have a beget, a piece of clothing, and it's made of wool. Okay, for example, it's made of wool. And unfortunately, you sewed in an extra piece of linen, which we know presents a problem of shatnez, kilayim, correct. We're mixing wool and linen now. The problem is that I have no idea where that piece of linen is. I have a beged of wool, and I don't know where the linen went. Beged she'avad bo kilayim, hari zeh. So am I allowed to wear that beged? Obviously not, right? I'm not allowed to wear kilayim, I'm not allowed to wear shatnez. So the Gemara says, not only can't you wear it, but you can't even, hari zeh, lo yimkarenu lo ikochavim. You can't sell it to a guy. Why not? Rashi explains, because the guy might go ahead and sell it to a Jew. Interesting. You can't even make a saddle. You can't make the cover, a towel, a sheet that will go over the saddle that you'll sit on a donkey. That's also an Isser Kalayim. That's an interesting side point. There is a big question in the poskim that is dealt with, whether there's an Isser Kalayim on a chair, on a couch, on a bed, on the carpet. These things are discussed in the poskim. This Gemara may actually be an important maramakum in that sugya. There's an infamous story of the stipler that he fell asleep on his first date, and that was not too impressive. And so the girl was very upset, and she found out why he fell asleep. She actually was very pleased and married him. And the reason was because the train ride to the date, he had a concern that the chair, a hard bench, had a little shotness in it. So he stood the whole train ride. The only problem is that he stayed up the whole night before to learn because he thought he'd sleep on the train. So when he got to this date, he fell asleep in his soup the second it started. And the girl was very displeased, but it ended up working out. So this Gemara may play into that whole discussion. I shouldn't even have spent that much time. It's definitely not our discussion tonight. Okay, continuing the Gemara, the second to last underline. Aval osa mimenu tachrichin lames. When we bury a mace, when we bury the niftar, so we put him in certain clothing called tachrichin. We bury him in this clothing, tachrichin. Says the Gemara, you can use this shot in his clothing, this clothing that's mixed wool and linen, you can use it for the mace to bury him. Amar of Yosef, what does this say? What does this teach us? Zos omeres, this teaches us mitzvos betelos la'asid lavo. That mitzvos are obsolete, are, irrelevant, rendered totally obsolete, la'asid lavo, in the future of days. So I wanted to spend the rest of the night talking about those two words, la'asid lavo. What in the world do those two words mean? Now, in fact, it's subject to much debate. Those two words, the future, lavo, asid lavo, those are a subject in big machlokas. We've shown in big machlokas, achronim, what exactly it means. We should talk based on this Gemara, because this Gemara seems to be the basis for which all of that machlokas starts. All of the argument, all of the confusion really stems right from our page right here. So in source number 5, you see the two main rishonim. So we'll start with one that's not in source number 5, so everyone can look right back here. Tosus on the page says, what does it mean, la'asid lavo, mitzvos are betelos? So Tosus says, what we're saying is like this. We're burying this mace, this dead person, in kalayim, in shatnez, right? We're putting him in a cloth that normal person can't wear. Says the Gemara, it must be la'asid lavo when this person comes back to life in tchiyas ha-mesim. Again, comes back to life in tchiyas ha-mesim. He's going to be wearing this clothing. He's going to be wearing this kalayim, this shatnez that you buried him in. And so what the Gemara says is, zos omeres, if we're allowed to bury him in such clothing, clearly, mitzvos betelos la'asid lavo. Clearly, when he comes back to life after tchiyas ha-mesim, in that day that comes after he's resurrected, so no more do mitzvos apply. Mitzvos are obsolete. Mitzvos are irrelevant. The Ritva echoes this point. The Ritva is found in source number 5, and he says, "Pirshu arishonim la'asid lavo lizman tchiyas ha-mesim," like Tosus just said. "Vizeu shamru kan zos omeres mitzvos betelos la'asid lavo." And the Ritva brings a proof from a Gemara in Ksuvus. The Gemara in Ksuvus on Kuf Yud Aleph on Beis says as follows. It says that when the Mesim come back to life in Tchiyas HaMesim, they're going to be wearing the clothing that they were buried in. And says the Ritva, oh, you see the Gemara, this is not like a Yerushalmi, but the Ritva says we hold like the Bavli. The Bavli says that they're going to come back in the clothing that they were wearing when they were dead. And if they're going to come back in the clothing that they're wearing in the dead, and we're giving them Kalayim, we're giving them Shatnez, so clearly we think that Shatnez and Kalayim, all the Yisurim, all the mitzvos, don't apply once they come back to life. And the Maharal, in his Sefer Tiferes Yisrael, it's in the 52nd parak, so he deals with this as well. He also thinks that mitzvos betelos la'asid lavo means that after tchiyas ha-mesim there are no mitzvos, and he struggles with the different philosophical issues that one would have with that. You can consult him, not me. Okay, so that's the first sheet in Rishon, this Ritva, this Tosos, this Maharal, who said that mitzvos betelos la'asid lavo, mitzvos don't exist anymore. The Gemara means after tchiyas ha-mesim, once we come back in resurrection. So I would assume the halacha l'maisa stops right there. I mean, it hasn't really started. But actually, this is dealt with in the poskim, halachos of after the dead. The Ben Ish Chai wrote a sefer Shalos Tshuvos called Shalos Tshuvos Rav Paalim. So in one of his pieces called Sod Yesharim in Siman Beis, he deals with the following question. Let's say a person is married to a nice Jewish girl, and Nebuch, this guy dies. Okay, he dies. So now she's an almana, and she loved her husband, but she can't be lonely the rest of her life, so she remarries. She marries a new person. Now comes, she dies and comes to Tchiyas HaMesim, and she wants to get back together with her first husband. So we know the din is, the halacha is, that a person who's married to a woman, if that woman goes ahead and marries another man, even beheter, even if it was totally mutter, she can no longer return to her first husband. That relationship has ended. It's totally over. So now Tchiyas HaMesim, so come back to life. So does that Isser still apply, or does it not apply? So the Ben Ish Chai deals with this at length, like really at length. So you look at there in Siman Beis. But seemingly our Gemara will play into this. If you hold that our Gemara is saying, la'asid lavo means that after tchiyas ha-mesim, there are no mitzvos, so the question doesn't really get off the ground. There's no isurim, there's no issues of an almana going back to her original husband, so this whole question in the poskim won't really get started, and we would be able to avoid it entirely, which is what we're going to do right now, moving on to the Rashba. That's because the Ritva said that Tchias HaMesim is what Lasad Lavo means. Now the Rashba and others disagree. The Rashba is the most famous one, which is why we're talking about him. The Rashba is found in his Chidush Manida over there, and in his Truos Nechadashos Simin Shin Samaches, that's on the sheet. The Rashba says that this Gemara said that you can bury the mace in Tachrichin, in clothing that's made of Shatnes, that's made of Kalayim. Zosomeris, mitzvos betelos la'asad lavo. What does la'asad lavo mean? Says the Rashba, la'asad lavo in many places in the Gemara does not mean that far off of the future. He quotes a Gemara in Erevin, he quotes a Gemara in other places, a Gemara in Yuma, Rosh Hashanah. He says la'asad lavo sometimes just means the near future. It just means coming up, time coming right now. La'asad lavo, the near future. He says, what does that mean? That means that the mace right now, when you put on his kalayim, while he's dead, while he's living this olam haneshamos upstairs, but he's dead down here in the ground. So says the Rashba, then it's mitzvos betelos. When the deceased person is laying in his grave, he's no longer chayiv in mitzvos. He no longer has to keep any mitzvos whatsoever. So this seems like a strange shita. Isn't that obvious? So the Rashba says, "Ein chanami." It's totally obvious. He does explain why someone would argue, but he says it is obvious. In fact, it's a mefurish gemara. It's a clear, explicit maimer chazal. The gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed Amar Aleph says, based on two psukim, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, which says, Lo amesim yahaluka, the dead people will not praise Hashem. There's another pasuk that they quote over there, it says, Mesim chafshi, that when you're dead, you're free, you're exempt. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? So the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan in that Gemara in Shabbos and Lamed says, the Gemara means to say, Mesim chafshi min ha-mitzvos. When a person is dead, he is batel, he's totally excused, totally not shayach, totally not related to the realm of Torah and mitzvos, which means that a person only has so much time in this world. Again, his shaykhus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forever, which is why Tchias HaMesim is so important. But in this world, he only has so much time to chap a rein and do some mitzvahs, learn some Torah, and do as much as he can to become a tzaddik, to become a talmid chacham, to become a good person, because soon enough, he'll be in his kever, hopefully not too soon, and at that point, he'll be chafshi min ha-mitzvos. Mitzvahs won't apply anymore, he can't keep mitzvahs anymore, he can't learn Torah anymore. Hashkafically, we think that's just a technical, halachic, or really not even halachic point, but hashkafically, this is important also. One of my rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Elchanan Erman Shlita, so he on multiple occasions has quoted Rav Kook. Rav Kook is found in Oros HaKodesh in Chelek Beis Simin Mem. So Rav Kook says that death is an illusion and Tumas Meis is its deception. Meaning that this entire world is just an unfortunate but necessary step towards the next world. We have to live here, we have to go through it. It's a pruzdor to get to Olam Haba. But the real goal, what we want to live towards every single day, is to transcend this world, to step out of our box in this physical world and yearn towards Shemayim, reach for the Olam HaNeshamos. Says Rav Kook, it's a shame that we're stuck in this world. In fact, the person, in some way, looks forward to death. He looks forward to transcending, to leaving this world and coming closer to a more spiritual, more ruchni area in the Olamos of the Olam HaNeshamos. Now, Rav Soloveitchik clearly disagreed with this in many different places. Mori Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita in his Sefer Nefesh HaRav quotes that the Soloveitchik family had a minug never to go to Beis HaKvaros. They never went to a cemetery. That was the minug in the family. So Rav Shechter over there on page Reish Nandal, so he quotes one reason for that minug. But the fact is the Rav himself, and Rav Shechter is Mitzayin, this, the Rav himself in the book Halachic Man says an entirely different reason. This is found in chapter 7 of that book. The Rav says that when a person dies, he loses his opportunity to do mitzvahs anymore. Batal min ha-mitzvos, chafshi min ha-mitzvos. That's our Gemara in Shabbos, that's our Rashba. And so when a person's in that state, it's nothing to envy. No one wants to be in a place where they can't do mitzvos. No one wants to be in a place where they can't learn Torah. The whole geshmak, the whole point of being here is to learn up a storm and to do a ton of mitzvos. And so the second you're dead and you don't have that opportunity anymore, it's a pain, it's chaval, it's sad. And so Tumas Meis is the direct result of that. It's so sad, it's so terrible, it's so despicable, so disgusting that we should have Misa, that we should be batal from mitzvos, that we should no longer be shaykh to Torah, that there's Mamela, it's Tuma. It's you have to stay away from it. It's terrible. And because of that, the Soloveitchik said, we can't even go near a cemetery. In fact, they say, and it's said in Halacha Man also, that Rav Chaim feared death. He didn't fear much, but he was scared. He had to learn sugyas to keep his mind off of dying. And the Rav quotes there a famous story about the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, when he was sick and close to death, so he was crying bitterly, really bitterly. And the Talmidim asked him, like, what are you crying about? You're such a Gaon, you're going straight to Shemayim. Like, there's no questions here, nothing to worry about. And the Gaon said, I'm not worried about Olam Haba, I'm worried about missing out on Olam Hazeh. The second I die, I miss another moment of tzitzis, I miss another moment of Talmud Torah, I miss another moment of tefillin, every mitzvah that I could do, those opportunities are gone. So Memela, he was crying, obviously he was sad, because leaving this world is not our goal, says Rav Soloveitchik. Our goal is to be Mekadesh the Chol, to make this world, which seems so physical, seems so profane, to turn it into something more holy and more special. And that's the Rav's general philosophy. seemingly a fundamental machlokas with Rav Kook, and his shita seems to come exactly out of our Gemara, this Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Lamed and this Rashba. So until now we've discussed the Gemara Nida. The Gemara Nida says that you can bury a mace in Kalayim in Shatnez, and you don't have to worry because mitzvahs betelos la'asad lavo. What does la'asad lavo mean? So we saw Tosus Ritvan the Maharal all said la'asad lavo means tchias ha'mesim. When you come back to life, you don't have to do mitzvahs anymore. The Rambam says explicitly in Perek Tes Halacha Beis of Hilchos Tshuva that that's not true, that you do have a chiyuv in mitzvahs once you come back to life. And in fact, we saw the Rashba based on the Gemara and Shabbos that the Gemara talking about la'asad lavo means that when you're dead, you're not shayach to mitzvahs. When you're dead, you don't do mitzvahs. But la'asad lavo, when you come back in the days of that are far, far off in tchias ha'mesim, then everyone's chayav in mitzvos, then the rule still applies. So now let's focus on this Gemara and Shabbos.
Why address them in Shabbos then?
What's that?
Why the Shabbos,
according to Rambam. Right, so that's a big question. We probably won't get there tonight. Tosus asked that question on the Daf in Nida, so that's some homework there. If we start a Tuesday night share, we could definitely cover it, but we'll have to... I don't think the recording heard you anyway, so we'll just avoid the question entirely. Okay, so the Gemara in Shabbos told us that we're chafshim in our mitzvos when we die. The mitzvos don't apply, we can no longer do mitzvos. So this seems to be a fascinating Gemara in light of a couple of other Gemaras. They're quoted here in source number 6. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, perhaps most famously on Kufi Adal and Beis, says as follows. It says that Eliyahu HaNavi once visited an Amora. He once came and visited one of the rabbis of the Gemara and told him some halachas. He was teaching him some dinim. So the only weird part was that the Amora noticed that they were standing in a Beis HaKvaros. In the cemetery. So the Amora said, Eliyahu, aren't you a Kohen? Rashi points out, Eliyahu was Pinchas. Pinchas was Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron, a Kohen. So clearly, Eliyahu was also a Kohen. So says the Amora, what are you doing in a Beis HaKvaros? Tumas Mesim, a Kohen's not allowed to be here. So whatever the answer is, seemingly the Gemara assumes, what? That Eliyahu, even though he was dead, even though he was long gone, but he was still Chayiv in Mitzvos, he was still Muzar, he was still commanded to stay away from Tumas Mesim. In fact, this idea is echoed in the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Mem Gimel. The Gemara is discussing whether Tchumen on Shabbos, traveling a certain distance on Shabbos, applies when you're traveling above 10 Tfachim in the air. Does it apply or does it not apply? So says the Gemara, I have a Raya, that in fact it doesn't apply, because Eliyahu HaNavi one time, one fine Shabbos morning, came to Pumbedisa to teach some halachos. And we know Eliyahu came above 10 Tfachim because he flies, that's what he does, everyone knows that. And he's flying above 10 Tfachim, going out of the Tchum, no Isser involved. Clearly there's no Tchum, and that's one of the Rayas one way or the other. That's not necessarily the Maskana over there, it's a big question. But the point is, the Gemara there too is assuming what? Eliyahu was Chayev and Mitzvos, he had to keep Shabbos, even the Rabbanan, he had to keep all the Mitzvos. He was Muzer in all the Halachos, he had to keep all the Dinim, even though he was dead. Now you could have given an answer, does anyone know what you could have said? Right. Yeah, so the Gemara in Moikana, Chavav Amaral, says Eliyahu Chayhu. If you look at the Psukim in Malachim Beis and Perek Beis, the Psukim describe how Eliyahu was carried away in a fiery chariot up to Shemayim. That's true. He definitely left this world to an upper world. Totally emes, totally true. But the Psukim, and clearly the Gemara thought, never say that he died. They never say that he perished in any way. And so you could have said, well, Eliyahu's, what is it called? The red herring? The exception, right? I don't know. Is that a phrase? Whatever. He's the exception. We'll just say that way. So you could have said Eliyahu's the exception because Eliyahu chayhu. Eliyahu is still alive, he never died, he's living forever. And so the mitzvah still applied him, even though he's dead, because he's not dead. Pesukim never said he died, the Gemara says he's totally still alive. Now that would present a whole another slew of issues. For example, as follows, the post can deal with, what about Eliyahu's wife? Can she remarry? Good question, right? Well, if he's dead, sure, totally okay. Let's say he's Eliyahu Chayhu, let's say he's still alive. So this is actually a shaila also that's dealt with in the postkim. The Trumas Adeshinim is Pesukim Ksavim, probably most famously. It's in Simen Kuf Beis. It's also dealt with by the Sitz Eliezer and Simen Yud Zayin Be'arichas Gadol. And Rabbi Rice showed me that it's dealt with by the Beis Shmuel and Eben Ezer Simen Yud Zayin as well, whether Eliyahu's wife was allowed to remarry or not. Halach l'maisa, I wouldn't take her on a date until you asked the rabbi. But besides Eliyahu, so we seem to have another Gemara which would blow that answer out of the water. The Gemara here in the leftmost side of number 6, the Gemara in Kesubis on Kuf Gimel. The Gemara says, Kol Erev Shabbos, every Friday afternoon, Rabbi Huda Hanasi would come back after he had already died, after he had already been out of this world for a few years. He would come back every single Friday afternoon and make Kiddush for his family. Whoa. So he was dead. He was coming back. We'll forget about that question. And when he was coming back, what was he doing? He was making Kiddush, a mitzvah, and being Yotze his whole family. His whole family was listening to his Kiddush saying Amen and being Yotze the Kiddush. So that seemingly says that now we have two Gemaras about Eliyahu. that say that Eliyahu had to keep mitzvahs after he died. Even though it's true Eliyahu might be the exception, we see Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, we don't know that he's the exception. He seems to be like a regular person who died, and he's coming back and making Kiddush. So seemingly, as much as our Gemara in Shabbos said that dead people don't keep mitzvahs anymore, we have three Gemaras that clearly say dead people do mitzvahs, and I think there are other Gemaras, probably some of them I'm not aware of at all. So this brings us to the title of our shir, just a dead man in the shtiebel, can the deceased join us for a minyan? So God, all you hear. So Rav Avadya Yosef in his Shalosh Tshuvos Yechav Das and Chelek Vav Simen Hei, it's on the source sheet, so he deals with the following interesting question. There is a minhag, minhag Yisrael, it's found in the Ramah, it's found actually in the Gemara, we'll talk about it later hopefully. There's a minhag that on Erev Rosh Hashanah and other times during the year, people would visit Kvarim, visit the cemeteries, to visit their relatives, to visit Tzadikim, daven by the Kvarim, whatever they would do. So in some cases, the people who are visiting their, let's say, their, you know, Karov, their relatives, Kever, so they wanted to say a Kaddish. That's a nice thing to do, Yisgadav Yisgadash in front of the mace. So they wanted to say a Kaddish. The problem was there were only three of them. Okay, so what do they do now? So the Shaila was as follows. Well, there's three of us, but I count seven graves around me. So maybe these seven guys sitting over here quietly, so maybe they can join in, hop on, and get involved in this minyan, make it 10, and we could say a Kaddish. Because we know the Mishnah and Gemara and Megillah and Chaf Gimel and Beis says that Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, certain parts of davening, like Kaddish, like Kedusha, like Baruch Hu, all those things, need 10 men, a quorum of 10 men, a minyan, as we call it, to make it a Dvarim Shebe Kedusha in order to do those tefillos. Kaddish is one of those tefillos, so we need 10 people. So we don't have 10 live people, perhaps we'll count the seven dead people along with us. I was talking about this with someone on Friday night, and he mentioned that even the live people in shul sometimes look dead. And I mentioned that there's actually a big machlokas in the postgame if sleeping people can count for a minyan. I think Uncle Alan was machaving that also. So here we're talking about real dead, not just sleeping. So the question is, can they join us for the minyan? The Rav Avadya does deal with it in the tshuva. The problem is that it's already clear from Rabbi Kiva Eger and Zaharos on the side of the Gemara and Ksubis and Kuf Gimel that we mentioned that it only applies to the tzaddikim, that we know the Gemara and Brachos on Yurches. That one's easy to remember. Yurches Chai. We're talking about dead people. I have a Kamenetsky trick. Okay. You'll ask. So the Gemara and Brachos on Yurches says that tzaddikim after misasam kruyim mesim, that a tzaddik, even when he's dead, is considered alive. He's disseminated so much Torah, he's given so much to everyone that he lives on in some way. He's still considered alive after he's dead. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, says Rav Avadya also, that maybe this halacha that, you know, dead people can do mitzvahs and come back and make kiddush and whatever, say kaddish, all those things would only apply to a tzaddik, someone who that rule applies to, the rule that he is a tzaddik, after misaso kari chai, that he's considered alive even now, so that's only true by tzaddikim. Now, physically, we've asked this before, how does this happen that a guy dies and he comes back? So most famously, the Chassam Sofer deals with this. The Chassam Sofer is very important, Mar Malkum, to know, just because it's interesting. In Chelek Vavav's Tshuva, Simen Sadi Ches, so he says an amazing idea. He says when Eliyahu died, it wasn't a natural death. He was swept up to Shemayim, and he was given an interesting opportunity. His body was taken away, but it was hung on a coat rack next to him. And he said, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you could dance here, you could stay here, sit and learn, whatever you want to do, enjoy Olam HaNeshamos, and whenever you feel like it, take that jacket, which is your old body, put it on, come back down to earth, and teach Torah, do mitzvahs, whatever. You have free reign between both worlds. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's what Eliyahu did. Sometimes he was sitting in Shemayim, he was a malach, he was a neshama, he was just a regular dead guy. And he would just chill out in Olam HaNeshamos. But sometimes he would put on his coat, which was his body, and come down to this world and keep mitzvahs, keep tumah, keep tchumen on Shabbos. And that was how he went through that. The Chassam Sofer is not the only one who said that chiddush. The Maritz Chiyas in his Haros Gemara in Brachos and Daf Gimel, as well as the Torah, Miman Vayikra and Parak Chav Zayin, as well as a couple of other people. The Malbim in Melachim Beis over there says this as well, and Rav Avadya quotes other sources. They all say this idea that the tzaddik sometimes has an opportunity to choose whether he wants to play dead or come back to life and participate in Torah mitzvahs and not remain batal, not remain chafshi min ha-mitzvos. But again, this only applies to tzaddikim, so it doesn't really help us. And in fact, Rav Avadya says, even if you had seven tzaddikim surrounding you and you wanted to count them for a minyan, so even that wouldn't be so simple. Says Rav Avadya, we have a rule, a klal, ein lemeidin halacha me'agarta. We don't learn halacha, hard facts, hard dinim, hard laws. We don't learn that from agarta, from stories in the Gemara, especially when the stories are of such grandiose, abstruse nature that totally transcends our intellectual grasp. That was a sick sentence. So we totally don't paskin by agarta. We don't follow stories. We don't listen to that type of thing. So we can't choose that these people can join us for a minyan just because they were tzaddikim, just because some Gemara says that Eliyahu Hanavi has a coat that looks like a person. Doesn't make sense. So says Rav Avadya, no. That idea that minhag should be totally batal mevutal. No one should ask the deceased to join us for a minyan. Just a dead man in the shtibol really is dead. So what if you come to a cemetery one fine morning and you find three people who are actually saying Kaddish with seven dead people? Let's say they're doing it. It's Aser. They're not allowed to do it. So should you answer Amen? So it seems like an innocent question. You're not doing the Iser. You're not violating the Din. They are. Should you join along and just say Amen? Just play along and say you agree to their brachos. So the Shulchan Aruch in Or HaChaim, it's in Resh Tes Vav, says that when a person makes a bracha Shein Atzricha, when he uses Shem Shemayim Levatala, he makes a bracha that he's not supposed to. So in such a case, you don't say Amen. You don't agree to that bracha. You don't say Amen. And the reason is because that's called an Amen Yesoma. Now, what's the Iser? What's the problem? So the Mishnah Berurah over there in Simin Resh Tes Vav quotes the Shulchan Aruch earlier in the Simin. The Shulchan Aruch in Resh Tes Vav Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says that if a tinok, a kid, a child makes a bracha, even for chinuch, he makes a mazonos, or he's just showing off that he knows how to make brachos, you don't answer amen, you don't say amen, because it's not a real bracha, and so it's an amen yesoma, it's like a bracha levatala, just in the world of saying amen. If you see, certain rabbanim, I saw this by Rav Shechter Shlita, but other rabbanim do this as well, sometimes, you know, fathers bring their children over to Rav Shechter and like show him, oh, how wonderful he is, he can make brachas on his own. So they say, you know, Bracha Tashem Brei Minim Mazonos. So Rav Shechter always gives a big smile and says, very good, you know, But he never says Amen. He never answers it because that's what the Din in Shulchan Aruch is here. You don't say Amen to a Bracha made by a Tinok. And so the Mishnah Berurah says, if you can't say Amen to a Bracha made by a Tinok, which is a Bracha he's making beheter, he's doing it for Chinuch, he's doing it for learning how to make Brachos, if you can't answer that type of Bracha, so says the Mishnah Berurah, for sure, the Shulchan Aruch is right in Siv Dalet over there, that you can't answer a Bracha which is done Be'isser. If people are making a Bracha Shein Atzricha, they're using Shem Shemayim Levatala, so for sure in such an instance, you should not answer Amen. And Rav Avadya says, in our very scenario, you walk into the Beis HaKvaros, into the cemetery, and this Sunday morning, and you hear seven people saying Kaddish with three people saying Kaddish with seven dead people, although it didn't matter either way. So either way, they're doing the wrong thing. Don't answer Amen, because they're saying a Shem Shemayim Levatala. They're making Ki'ilu, a Brach Levatala, a Brach Shein Atzricha. And so it's Aser, it's totally not allowed. It's an Amen Yesoma for you to answer after that Kaddish. Now, just to note, we're saying that mesim, that the dead person, so they're not shayach to mitzvos, they're not shayach to joining a minyan, they're not relevant to Torah. All those things are true, but it is important to realize, and it's a big minhag Yisrael that took on because of this, there is a special koach hatvila that the Beis HaKvaros have, and that the mesim have for us. Now, the more important note is that another one of the Rambam's Yud Gimel Karmas is you're not allowed to daven to anyone except for Hashem. That includes malachim, that includes dead people. So it's totally usher to go to a kever and say, you know, I want you to help me with my tilos, or daven to the chas shalom, to daven to the mace, to the dead person, to tell him to do something for you. That's totally aser. In fact, we mentioned that Rav Shechter Shlita quoted that the Soloveitchik family minhag was not to go to Beis HaKvaros. The reason that he quotes, that he says he heard from the Rav himself, is because they didn't want it to even look like they were going for that purpose. They didn't want it to look like they went to the cemetery and were even talking to the mason in any inappropriate way whatsoever. So that's totally off limits, totally out of our halachic league. And the Ramah in Simon Tavkov Pei Aleph in Or HaChaim in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. So he quotes a minhag that on Erev Rosh Hashanah people would go to visit the cemeteries, daven by kvarim of tzaddikim and krovim and relatives. This is not the Ramah's chiddush. This shows up in Gemara in Tainus and Daf Tez Zayin Amud Aleph, that there was a minhag to go out to the kvaros to be inspired to daven. But the Mishnah Berurah notes over there that it's very clear that you're allowed to daven to Hashem in the Beis HaKvaros, but you can't have any talking, any interaction between you and the mace. Totally not allowed. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. It says, Afal Pikin, even though that's true that you can't talk to the mace, the Beis HaKvaros, the cemetery, is particularly mesugal, it's particularly auspicious place to daven to Hashem. The tefillos are usually more mekubal, more accepted by Hashem from such a holy, holy grounds. What should you be thinking if you're daven by the kvarim of mace? So I don't want to get too far into this now, but just a mar makom ani lach, if you look, Moriv Rabbi of Twersky Shlita once quoted a Maharal in Nisiv HaAvod, the Perek Yud Beis. If you look over there, he discusses what exactly you're supposed to be thinking, what you're supposed to be feeling when you're diving by Kvarim. Again, Maharal Nisiv HaAvod, Perek Yud Beis. Just one interesting Maharmakum in this, really fascinating. It's found in the Pardes Yosef HaChadash Haggadah, somewhat new, in the Hagdama, in the introduction to that Sefer. So he quotes an unbelievable Sefer Chasidim, written by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, lived from the 12th to 13th century. So it says an unbelievable thing. The Gemara in Yevamos on Tzadi Zion says that Kol Misha Nemar Dvar Alachem Mipiv, not really quoting exactly verbatim, so anyone who quotes a tzaddik who's already dead, if you quote him and say his Torah, say over his Divrei Torah while you're alive, so Sif Sosav Dovavos Bekever. Says the Gemara, based on a pasuk in Shir Hashirim in the 7th Perek, that if you quote a tzaddik who's already dead, you quote his Divrei Torah, So his mouth starts murmuring in the kever. This Gemara is also found in Sanhedrin, in our area, in the Sugyas of Tchias and Mesim. It's also found in Bechoros and Lamed Aleph. So what does that Gemara mean? That the mouth starts murmuring in the kever? The guy's talking when he's dead? What does that mean? So the Sefer Chasidim is an unbelievable thing. In Simon Reish Chav Dal, the Sefer Chasidim says, Mamash Hafli Befele, he says that any time that you quote a tzaddik, you quote a Talmud Chacham, you quote Divrei Torah from someone who's deceased, someone who's dead, so while he's in the kever, he turns into a Melech Yosher for you. As you're saying Divrei Torah from him, as you're quoting him, as we're quoting Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi right now, in his kever, his mouth is murmuring, he's davening for you, he's becoming your, I guess, messenger towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu in some indirect way, and saying, please look out for whoever's talking for me, because he's quoting my Divrei Torah. Think about the power of that. Every time we quote a Rav Moshe, Von Lagon, and Amora, every time you say a paragraph of Tehillim, you think your Koach HaTefillah is going well. As you're saying Shir Malos, David HaMelech is saying Shir Malos in his kever. Something really, really unbelievable to think about from the Sefer Chasidim. So just to sum up, so we've spoken about the Gemara Nida and Samach Aleph that talked about Lasad Lavo. We didn't know what Lasad Lavo meant. We said maybe Tchias HaMesim, once Tchias HaMesim comes around, is Lasad Lavo. And that means that Lasad Lavo, the mitzvahs are betelos. So there's no mitzvahs after Tchias HaMesim. That's what the Ritva said. That's what Tosa said. That's what the Maharal said. But we've sort of stuck with the other pshat, the Rashba's pshat and his Chuvos and his Chidushim, probably the Rambam's pshat, that La'asid Lavo does not mean after Tchias HaMesim. La'asid Lavo means that when the person is dead, he's not chayv in mitzvos. Now, if he's not chayv in mitzvos, so what are these Gemaras talking about? We see that the Eliyahu HaNavi was doing mitzvos and Rebbe was doing mitzvos. What's pshat? So we explained they were special cases. They were tzaddikim. The Chassam Sofer explained they went up to Shemayim, but they were able to put on their body coat and come back down to this world and do mitzvos, keep halacha. Then we spoke about whether those dead people could count for a minyan. No, they absolutely cannot. And you shouldn't answer their Kaddish either. And the last thing we spoke about was just the importance of understanding that the special nature of a Beis HaKvaros and also the special nature of our, you know, Rachel Mevaka Albaneha, so to speak, our Mason looking out for us even from beyond this world. So we're going to flip the page of Makoros now and hopefully cover one last halachic issue that's actually compressed, contained within this tshuva of Rav Avadya that we actually haven't dealt with yet. And that is, there seems to be an inherent problem with saying Kaddish by the Beis HaKvaros. There seems to be an inherent problem with saying Kaddish near a grave. Why? Good. So the Pasuk in Mishlei in the 17th parak says, Loeg l'rash cheref osehu. Anyone who mocks a poor person is blaspheming his creator. Okay. So what does that mean? So the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Ches, I gave you over here, but it goes from Yud Zayin Amabez all the way to Yud Ches Amabez to Yud Tes. It's all over the place, but just some of the important parts are over here. So the Gemara says that an onin, someone whose karov, his relative, died, so he's not allowed to do any mitzvos in front of the mace. Okay. Says the Gemara, not only an onin, but even if you're not an onin, you're working for the Chaver Kadisha, you're a shomer, you're guarding the body, you too should not do any mitzvos, should not daven, should not learn in front of the mace. Says the Gemara, not only that, but if you're walking through a Beis HaKvaros, you're not a shomer, you're not an onin, you're nobody, you're not shayach at all to the Beis HaKvaros, you're not shayach to any of the mesim over here, you got to tuck in your tzitzis, you got to keep your mitzvos hidden, you can't wear tefillin outside, you can't carry Sefer Torah, you can't learn, you can't daven, because that's called loig l'rush. The basic concept of loig l'rush, mocking the poor person, is that you're teasing a person who can't do what you can. Meaning you're walking through the cemetery, and you have your tzitzis out, and you're prancing around with your tefillin on your head, and you're learning out loud, and Nebuch, this mace is chav shimena mitzvos. You think you're so great that you're able to keep mitzvos, and you're rubbing it in the face of this dead person on the ground. He sees all that's going on, he hears your davening, he sees your tzitzis, and he's totally offended, totally mocked, totally scorned, and so that's also because loeg l'rush, cheref osehu, you're not allowed to do such a thing, to wave it in the face of someone who is less fortunate. Whew, okay. Do they actually hear us? Where did that assumption come from? The mace could hear us? He's dead. He's underground. So the Gemara asks that question right there in Brachos. And the answer is that, yeah, it seems like the mace actually can hear us, can see us. It does know basically what's going on within Dalet Amos around it. As long as you're within 8 feet about, give or take, give and take, either way. As long as you're within those Dalet Amos, so you should avoid this issue of Loeg L'rush, because the mace actually does know what's going on. I recently said this over, I'll say it again, when Rabbi Yonah Reis was leaving Yeshiva University, so he was giving speeches in the cafeteria, and he had a lot of introductions that were praising him, giving him like major, major praise. Very nice, they were saying very nice things about him. So he got up there and he said, you know, I feel like I'm at my own funeral. I feel like I'm listening to you guys talk about me like this. When a mace dies, when a person is dead, so he sits in the coffin in front of everyone, and everyone, the rabbi gets up and says how big a Baal Tzach he was, and his kids say how he was such a Baal Chesed, and he's a Talmud Chacham, this. So much praising. Said Rabbi Reis, when I die, I don't want to hear any praises at my funeral. I just want to hear one guy say, hey, I think the body's moving. Which is hilarious. And when I told that last time, someone came over to me afterwards and said that he heard a story about a prominent rabbi in America who was called all of a sudden in the middle of the night to run to a place out of town to do a funeral. When he got there, he started to give a hesped, started to give a eulogy for this mace, this person who he thought died. And he was giving a speech how this guy is such a Tam Chacham, such a wonderful Baal Chesed, and all of a sudden he hears from the crowd, Ich lebt, ich lebt, I live, I live. Turns out it was the guy's wife who died. And he had been talking about him, who was sitting there in the audience the entire time. He tried to save the speech, but so to speak, he killed it. We assume the mace knows what's going on, which is why we're presented with this problem of loeg l'rush, that you can't rub it in his face that you're doing mitzvahs. So the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim and Simen Chav Gimel, we put it on the sheet over here, it's Sif Aleph, okay, says you're allowed to go into a Beis HaKvaros, you're allowed to wear your tzitzis, but we just said you're not allowed to wear tzitzis. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you can't wear your tzitzis out, but you can tuck them in, you can cover them up, and that's okay. Nigros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Chelek Dalad, Simen Vav and Aruch Chaim, so he deals with the following question. Let's say you wear a baguette over your shirt, but your strings are tucked in, is that okay? So Rav Moshe goes back and forth, and he proves from Mishnah Berurah that's probably okay. Agav, totally side point. The post can deal with whether you're supposed to wear your talis katan under your shirt and tucked in or not. Some people wear their tzitzis out, some people wear them tucked in. So there are a lot of makoros back and forth. Rav Avadja, in the first truva in Chelek Beis of Yechav Adas, says that this place is one of the rayas that you're allowed to keep your tzitzis tucked in, because the postgame, like the Beis Yosef, talk about the talis katan as a beged which you wear, but you keep the strings tucked in. So clearly, some postgame thought that that was okay. Either way, loeg l'rush means we shouldn't be rubbing these mitzvos in the face of dead people. Says Mori v'Rabbi of Shechter Shlita on multiple occasions, not necessarily a chiddush, it's based on a shach in Simen Shin Mem Aleph in Yordaya. He says the following, he says, loeg l'rush is not limited to what you think it is. It doesn't only apply to dead people. Loeg l'rush is a concept, it's a rule, that we have to be sensitive, we have to care, we have to be mindful. We have to realize that the people around us are not as fortunate as us always. So it's true that when a person is dead, he's batel min ha-mitzvos. He can't keep mitzvos anymore. So I'm going to run around in the cemetery wearing my tzitzis out, learning Torah, davening, and rub it in his face. Loeg l'rush, be sensitive. Be nice to the guy. He can't keep mitzvos anymore. What are you rubbing in his face? Says Rav Shechter that that applies to a person who's alive as well. Rav Shechter says that when his father was very ill towards the end of his life, he used to visit him in the hospital, and his father wasn't able to eat normally. So he was on an IV tube being fed through the IV tube. And Rav Shechter said that he was very makbid, very careful, that every time he was in that room, he never ate in front of his father. Even though his father was alive, he was still conscious, he was still recognizing what was going on, but loeg l'rush means be sensitive, be mindful. This guy, he can't taste food anymore, he can't feel the pleasures of eating. And so it's true that he's alive, but there's still a rule of loeg l'rush. There's still that rule of being mindful, being sensitive towards him, and mamela, if he's on an IV and nebuch, he can't do what you can do, so be careful around him, don't rub it in his face. Similar thing would apply. You see a person who's unfortunately in a wheelchair. You see a person who, I don't know, he's not as good at basketball as you. So don't run around in front of him. Don't play basketball in front of him. Be sensitive to people within your Dalet Amos, within your immediate surroundings. Try not to hurt anyone's feelings, even if they're alive and kicking. Based on all of this, this concept of loeg l'rush, so we said there's another inherent issue in this tshuva that Rav Avadja had. We said, we asked if a people can say Kaddish at the Beis HaKvaros, at the cemetery, can they be mashlim aminim with the dead people? We said, it definitely can't be make the minyan with the dead people. That makes no sense whatsoever. But how are they even allowed to say Kaddish? We just said there's an issue of loeg l'rush. You can't stand before a grave and do mitzvahs or daven or learn Torah or ritzit, anything. You can't do it in front of them. So how can you stand in a Beis HaKvaros and tell me you're going to say Kaddish? You're going to chapa mincha minyan. How can you daven a kevah rachel? How do any of these things make sense? In fact, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeya here in Simen Shin Samach Zayin, it's source number 9C, Siv Gimel. That was a really confusing way of saying it. Yerodeya Shin Samach Zayin Gimel, source 9C on the sheets, says that a person shouldn't walk around doing mitzvos. He also shouldn't be mispalel. And the last words that are bolded over here, Elaim Kain Lechvod Hames. Says the Shulchan Aruch, there's a very important exception. If you are davening in a way that's Lechvod Hames, to raise the honor, to applaud in some way and be mechabi the mace, to help the mace out in some way in his dignity, so that's mutter. In such a case, you're allowed to daven. So let's talk about Kaddish for a second. What is Kaddish? Where does that come from? So in source number 10, I didn't quote to you where it's from. This is from a tshuva of Rav Avadja. It's in Yechav Adas Hey Nun Tes. But the important part is that he quotes where it really shows up in all the sources, in Midrashim, in Chazal, whatever. But we'll tell the story outside. One time Rabbi Kiva was walking around, and some spooky looking guy came over to him and started schmoozing him up. So we usually turn around, but Rabbi Kiva was a nice guy, so he listened. Fine. This guy, so he said, what's your deal? So the guy said, I'm dead. Okay. So why are you here? So he said, well, actually, I'm dead. I got a day off, but I'm being tortured in Gehenna nonstop. So Rabbi Kiva said, hey, Nebuch, what am I supposed to do to help you? How can I help you get out of there? So he said, teach my son how to say Kaddish. If you teach my son how to say Kaddish, and he says it for long enough, he'll be poed at me from a Gehenna. He'll redeem me. He'll get me out of burning and being tortured in Gehenna. So it turns out this son was an Amaretz, he didn't know how to speak Hebrew. Rabbi Kiva had to spend a long time teaching him how to do maftir, how to say Kaddish, whatever. But eventually he taught him how to say Kaddish, and in fact, Kahava, the guy came back and said, you know what, I was saved, thank you Rabbi Kiva, for teaching my son how to say Kaddish, it got me out of Gehenna. That's the idea of Kaddish. It's lechvod ha-meis. It's to save the meis from a Gehenna. In fact, Mori Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita says that when his parents died, so he wasn't entirely careful always. In fact, he wasn't so concerned if he didn't make it in time for the first Kaddish, or if someone else was saying Kaddish and he didn't want to do two at a time. So he wasn't so careful. He didn't really feel so concerned if he missed a Kaddish here and there. Because says Rav Shechter, my parents were the biggest tzaddikim. They're not burning in Gehenna. I don't need to worry about it. So if I miss a Kaddish here or there, okay. My parents are doing fine anyways. I can't testify to that, but to see Rav Shechter, so it must have come from somewhere. So I assume that's true. The Rav Avadja quotes from the Arizal. It's actually quoting from Rav Chaim Vital in his Shar Kavanos, in his Drush on Kaddish. It's on Tesvav over there, so he's quoting from the Arizal. The Arizal says that not only does Kaddish have the ability to take a person out of Gehenna, it has the ability to push a person into Gan Eden. So we see that Kaddish has this unbelievable power, this koach, to be pulled in the mace from Gehenna, to bring him to Gan Eden. Ein lecha kavod ha-meis gadol mizeh. If you're saying a Kaddish by a kever, seemingly that should fit right into this Shulchan Aruch and say that it's lechavod ha-meis. And so even though usually you're not allowed to daven in a Beis HaKvaros, you're not allowed to say Kaddish next to a grave, but we can be matzdik, we can save the Minag Yisrael that we see that all the time people say Kaddish, say Tehillim, say davening by a grave. People daven by Kever Rachel all the time. So we could say maybe all of those davenings are really lechavod ha-meis. They're really for the honor of the dead person underneath. And so that's our way out of that problem. Now there are other issues to deal with because there's not only one mace in the cemetery. There's others that are around you. So you'll have to work on that on your own. We don't have time for that. The Munkacher in his Minchas Alazar in Chelek Gimel, so he deals with the question of Kever Rachel as well. And he thinks that tzaddikim in general don't have a rule of Loeg L'Rush. There's no issue of davening around them. That seems a bit far out. And Rav Shechter Shlita pointed out to me recently that Maaris HaMachpelah is totally different because even if the Avos and Imos are buried there in that general area, they're probably a little farther away. Even if they're farther away, closer than Dalet Amos, they're so far underground, they're probably not even there in the first place. So there's no real issue of davening with a minion, davening saying Kaddish, all those things, learning saying Tehillim, having a shul in Maaris HaMachpelah because it's not the biggest concern that they're right under us, that it's going to be Loeg L'Rush. So let's sum up what we've spoken about tonight. So we spoke about Tchias HaMesim. We said, what is Tchias HaMesim? I have no idea. But the Ramban and the Rambam did, and they said some things about it. The Ramban thought that you come from Tchias HaMesim into Olam Haba. The Rambam thought you come from Olam Haba into Tchias HaMesim. And I don't know how to answer that question. We'll hopefully figure it out pretty soon. Then we spoke about the Gemara Nidan Samach Aleph. The Gemara said you could bury a mace, you could bury a dead person in Kalayim, in Shatnez. So we said the Ritva, the Tosvos, and the Maharal think that means that there's no mitzvos when Tchias HaMesim comes. The Rashba and the Rambam say, no, there's mitzvos when Tchias HaMesim comes. There's just no mitzvos while you're dead. If there's no mitzvos while you're dead, so then why were all these Tanayim and Eliyahu Navi himself keeping mitzvos when they were after they were dead? So we explained, they were tzaddikim, they were different, they were given a special misa that they could come back and visit on this world to keep halacha and keep mitzvos. After we said that, we said there's really no way to allow to make a minyan with dead people. Doesn't really make any sense, because even if tzaddikim are able to do such a trick, it's agadata, we don't learn halacha from agadata. Now, are you allowed to answer amen to them? No. Oh, great, okay. No, you're not allowed to answer amen if people are doing that isser, if people are violating that din. Then we spoke about the crucial issue of loeg l'rush. We said loeg l'rush means you can't rub mitzvos in the face of someone who's dead and can't do mitzvos. But we said, Rav Shechter pointed out, it applies even after that. It applies even when a person's alive. If he can't do certain things, if he's not blessed with certain traits that you are, so don't rub it in his face. Don't be a little sensitive to people. Loeg L'Rush applies at any point in life and in death. And the last thing we spoke about was, if so, how can you say Kaddish? How can you say Tehillim? How can you learn in a cemetery? So we offered a possible excuse, a possible explanation for the Minhag Yisrael, that maybe anytime it's L'Chavar HaMeis, to glorify the Meis, to give him honor. So in those scenarios, it's mutter to say Kaddish, mutter to daven. But in other scenarios, it would not be okay. Maaris HaMachpelah, we said, was a totally separate issue and probably mutter, according to all of the postgame.